Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know if you've seen this story, but it's out of Channel 41. And it's about crime in Kansas City versus crime in St. Louis. Missouri Governor Mike Parson and St. Louis area leaders announced a plan yesterday to, quote, get more boots on the ground in the fight against crime on the other side of the state. The plan includes sending 25 state personnel, including state troopers, investigators, and a cyber analyst to St. Louis. Some of the state troopers will ramp up interstate patrols, while others will join task forces in the city.
October the 1st, we will commit approximately 25 state personnel to get more boots on the ground and support law enforcement operations.
It's the latest effort to save lives in St. Louis. More state troopers on task forces and interstates, more help for the U.S. Attorney's Office, and funding for victim services.
These are additional efforts. There are additional resources. There are additional personnel, additional funds.
That's the mayor of St. Louis, along with channel reporter from Channel 41, along with Governor Parson, as you heard. What's that mean for Kansas City? Why aren't we in the area? Why aren't we talking about Governor Parson sending more people here? Kansas City, I don't know if you know this or not. How many homicides do you think we're up to so far there, Ryan Weber?
I do not even want to try to guess, but I know that it's on pace to set another sad record.
110 homicides so far in Kansas City. So why isn't the governor of the state of Missouri announcing a similar plan to that city on the west side of the state? Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas said, quote, we've got a very serious crime problem. St. Louis has a slightly more serious one. That is accurate.
Yep.
They're more murderery than we are here. The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department's crime stats, they have 144 murders so far this year with a population of about 300,000. We're bigger population-wise here in Kansas City.
As a metro area.
Yeah, right.
Actually, yep. from even like the whole MSA, we're about the same size as St. Louis.
Still, Lucas has engaged in ongoing conversations with Parson about ways to support investigations and prosecution, as well as ensuring adequate funding for social workers and trauma treatment. Lucas has not and does not have plans to ask the Highway Patrol to intervene. He said, quote, frankly, I think having people from out of town who don't know neighborhoods isn't actually a helpful approach to addressing violent crime. What do you think? 576-7798. What does it say to you if Governor Parson wants to do St. Louis, take care of St. Louis, help make St. Louis safer, while our problem is, in a lot of respects, just as bad, if not worse, here in Kansas City?
You know, I think Kansas Cityans, and I'm guilty of this, we often think that the state of Missouri focuses on St. Louis first. And we can probably point to a number of examples of when that's the case. Now, we got to remember, Mike, so Governor Mike Parson is a former law enforcement official. So he actually was a military police officer. He was I believe, also local police and then with sheriff's office. So he is aware of law enforcement.
Yep.
Has a career in it and is certainly passionate about that. So if you wanted a governor to help, this is probably your guy. I mean, he's got the experience to do it. Now, our mayor is right. I mean, Mayor Lucas is 100% accurate in saying that we don't really need outsiders coming to neighborhoods they don't know, trying to enforce the law. And I think we're also aware that we want a solution to this problem. And I'll tell you, it does make an impact. As we're recruiting businesses to Kansas City, at some point during their tour here, they ask, so what's up with the east side? What's going on with all the crime in Kansas City? Because if you don't have control of that issue, it sends a perception that maybe other things that are not as publicly aware are out of control too. It is a black eye in our community that we have not been able to solve in the last probably 50 years.
It's getting worse.
Yes.
Yeah, when I moved here, it was top 10 in murders and then seven. Then in 2017, boy, we really jumped. We were top five. I think we might have fallen to six. But 2019, Kansas City, you are on pace to be in that top five again for most murders per capita in the country.
Yeah, we're all looking for the tipping point, right? So we each one of us can come up with our own solution to how to solve this problem, whatever. this is a very complex problem.
Right.
It is not about just about crime or criminals or gangs or drugs or any of that. And honestly, like, my stance on this is it's an education issue. When you're not afforded opportunities to do anything else besides a life of crime, then that's a problem. And I know that our mayor is focused on this. And think about it. Since day one he was put in office, he has had to focus on this issue. We had a number of very public instances of violent crime in this city that he immediately had to address. Mm-hmm. So it's not going anywhere. This problem was a problem he inherited. It's going to be a problem throughout his entire term as mayor.
Sure it is.
And I hope that there's a tipping point in this next term, because it is not just about putting more police officers on the street. I've done a ride-along in East Kansas City. I encourage everyone to do this.
How is that?
Fascinating.
Yeah?
And it was right after Ferguson was going on, so it was a very heightened state of alert. And I was with a female officer who's the toughest person I've ever met.
I believe it.
She scared the crap out of me and was very
intimidating. And you're not allowed to get out, right? You have to You have to stay in the car.
Oh, this is hilarious you mentioned that, because we got our first call. We went to an apartment complex. It was a domestic abuse call. And the minute we roll into the apartment complex, there's the chatter. You know, police are here, 5-0, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I could hear it, she could hear it, and there was all this chatter. And we get out of the car, and I was like, hey, what's the rules here? Do I come with you? She's like, oh, I'm not in charge of you. I'm not here for your safety. If you want to come with me, you're welcome. You're on your own.
I thought the rules were you had to stay in the car. Okay.
No, so I was like, okay, I'll come. So we go to the door. She's like, you want to knock on the door? And I was like, sure.
Want to knock on the door?
Yeah, and I was like, sure. She goes, then don't stand there. And that's how our night went. I mean, she gave me a full immersion into her highly dangerous job. Never have I had more respect for our law enforcement officials.
Did you have a vest on?
No, nothing. I had street clothes.
What?
We went to a hit and run.
Man, I would want full tactical gear.
No.
Regardless.
We go to a hit and run situation, and there's a lot of languages being spoken in that part of town, so it's hard to communicate with everybody. People were very, you know, freaked out. There was an accident. There was cars still running and smoke and stuff, and they thought that I was like a federal official, or I was her boss. And I'm like, no. I am not involved in any of this here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm hopping in the car, turning it off. And it was very hands-on. It was, what I was so impressed of was she knew everybody in that community that she needed to know. And she also would notice people that didn't belong in that community and would immediately start looking up in their system who they were and would figure them out. And like, they're not supposed to be here. Something's going on.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it was very eye-opening into that world, but it's very complicated because it's not just an issue of like, well, let's just get more police, more funding, more boots on the ground, as they put it in St. Louis. That is maybe a Band-Aid. It's not a solution.
What is the answer, the proper response from Governor Parson? 576-7798. What's your reaction to the plan to fight crime in St. Louis? But, and I don't know the right way to say this, but he's turning his back on, not addressing, not looking at you here in Kansas City. 576-7798. Why doesn't, and I believe there are political reasons behind this, and we'll do that. We'll talk about it after the break. But I think there are some political reasons why he's picking St. Louis as opposed to picking Kansas City. We will talk about that coming up on the other side. You can join us, 576-7798. Sorry, Kansas City. Governor Parson's focusing on St. Louis, not your violent crime problems. What about you? What's this say to you about your governor as the murder rate continues to grow here in KC? 576-7798. 576-7798, the phone number. Ryan Weber, KC Tech Council President, is in studio for Jamie Monticelli today, talking about Governor Mike Parson. And he is sending more troops, more boots on the ground to St. Louis to help fight the violent crime, to help fight the murder rate there. Not doing a lot for Kansas City, Missouri. As a matter of fact, not doing anything for Kansas City, Missouri. KC Mayor Quentin Lucas in this Channel 41 story said, quote, "We have a very serious crime problem. St. Louis has a slightly more serious one, particularly given its smaller population. Frankly, I think having people from out of town who don't know neighborhoods isn't actually a helpful approach to addressing violent crime. We have not made the same request that I believe our peers in St. Louis have." Did the mayor of St. Louis request this?
That's been the rumor. And I think that's important to note here that she asked for help.
Okay.
And let's not forget, like, on a national scale, most Americans look at Kansas City and St. Louis as neighboring cities. You know, so we look at it as us and them, but we can't, because their issues become our issues. So when we have companies visit here, they say, isn't St. Louis having, I mean, that much, just be right down the street having some of these issues. And it does affect us because we're still part of the same state. Now, I do agree with Mayor Lucas that it does not, we do not need to have state troopers coming in for this issue. It's a much bigger issue than just an increase of police presence can solve. And I agree with him on that. But if there's a good result in St. Louis, then that's positive.
So if in your mind, more police isn't the answer, or bringing in 25 new people and 10 of them are state troopers or whatever, if that's not the answer, how do we stop being a top three or a top five murderiest city?
It is so complicated. But here, what I would like to do is break this down into short term and long term.
Okay.
You have to focus on both at the same time. Short term, we've got an issue where we can't convict people who commit violent crimes. Big problem, right? So there's no repercussion. There's no immediate repercussion or the perception that you will get caught and you will be in trouble and you will go to jail if you commit violent crime. We're getting better at that, but that's still a problem.
Is that on Gene Peters Baker?
No, no. I think you got to have witnesses. You got to have evidence.
What you're saying is, and we've heard a lot about this, police officer drives up to where there was some sort of incident that happens. In a crowd of 50 people, nobody knows what happened.
That's
nobody
right.
saw anything. Cop drives away. Everybody knows what happened.
That's right. Okay. And you can't force people to. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a culture of you're considered a rat. And that's very dangerous. I mean, extremely dangerous to be someone who's perceived to be, you know, quote unquote, a rat. But long term, you got to realize, like, why are people in this situation? They don't have the education or the opportunities that we had, right? So for them, the way to provide for their family, or at least they perceive the next step for them, is a life of crime.
Okay.
That's because if you don't have access to a better opportunity and that's the best thing you have for you, then that's what you choose. The wrong choice, unfortunately. So the long-term approach is, how do you provide better education, better jobs, so that that is not even considered an option for you? Because the outcome of a life of crime is jail or worse. Mm-hmm. So, and they know that. I think anyone in that situation knows that that's the next step for them. So they don't look at, like, what's my 5-year plan? They're in a survival mode at that point.
What's my 5-day plan?
Yeah. Or even, yeah, what's today's plan? Mm-hmm. So when you're in that environment, in that culture, and you're providing for your family, your extended family, it's a very overwhelming concern. It's not as simple as more police.
What can Parson do? What can Governor Parson do? I mean, well, I don't know if...
Well, remember, Mayor James tried to get the state to give him control of the police force.
That didn't happen.
The police is controlled by the state. The police board is appointed by the governor, right? And I don't know how many Kansas Cityans serve on the police board, but I don't know if it's equitable or not. But
I think it's like one.
And that's
or two out of the six people that are on that board.
Probably a problem, right?
Let me look at that up.
And I don't know, honestly. I know a friend that's running for that and from Kansas City. That's important. But, you know, I don't know. If local control is something we want, I don't know that there's a clear path to a better outcome with that control or not. But the state still controls funding. The state still controls the leaders of the police force. So there's a debate to be had there for sure.
You know, it's interesting in this story, they've quoted Quentin Lucas, but they did not quote Rick Smith, the police chief, to see what his thoughts are on this. Because you know that Rick Smith wants to get the murder rate down, just like Quentin Lucas wants to get the murder rate down. I want to know if there are conversations being had between, you know, our two big names in this story and Governor Parson. And does Governor... let me take a step back. You've met with Governor Parson before in your time.
Yep.
Does he care about Kansas City?
Absolutely.
There is an argument that people have said, and I know the guy he took over for, that Governor Greitens did not care about Kansas City in the slightest.
I'd agree with you there.
It was Jeff City East.
Yeah,
you know, it was Springfield East. He didn't care about this city at all. Does Mike Parson care about Kansas City, Missouri?
Absolutely. But he cares about the state of Missouri, right? So he's very focused at that level. But he's here for every Chiefs game. He's a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. So he's here for every game. But he understands that these are the two cities that make the economy in this state work. They both have to be at the highest level they can be, right? So he's very aware of that. But yeah, of course he loves Kansas City. He does not want to see St. Louis or Kansas City see any sort of decline under his leadership. And he is running for re-election.
Is this political?
No.
Is there something to be gained by getting votes out of St. Louis and surrounding areas because Kansas City is a safe zone? You know what I mean? Like, the
further
west...
I think there's so much more risk than reward here for him politically, because if this doesn't go well, that's going to be a big problem for re-election. I think he's looking at this as a serious problem that he wants to solve.
And if he... So it is political. So if he can get...
If it's successful...
If in the next 6 months we can see a slight decrease, and slight would be a big win, if we can see a decrease in crime in St. Louis, that goes a long way towards re-election. If this blows up in his face, future Missouri Governor Galloway will use it to throw in his face and say, look, this did not work. Here's a plan.
If she does, then she better have a great plan.
Right.
A very different plan on how to solve this problem. No, I think he's looking at this as, if this doesn't work out, I would lose re-election maybe. And that there's way more risk in this than reward. But I don't think any of this was decided on behalf of, hey, this is good for my re-election campaign. It is the biggest problem in the state. Now,
Ryan.
No, he's a law enforcement official, former law enforcement official. This is something he's very passionate about. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest problems in the state. And if he doesn't have a solution to it, then that's a problem.
It just seems strange he's not helping the other side of the state.
We didn't ask for it.
People are begging for it. People are begging Quentin Lucas for it.
I don't think the state being more involved in Kansas City is an outcome that Kansas City wants.
We'll talk more about this. Bear, hang right there. You're on deck. First, though, Mark Lavoie is in the KMBZ newsroom. Right to the phones, 576-7798. Our friend Bear in Roland Park.
What's up, Bear?
I hear you on Dana and Parks more often than I hear Dana Wright. Thank you so much for calling this program, my friend.
I appreciate it. I got off a little early today.
Cool.
It's pretty easy to look up to see the difference between, you know, more restrictive gun laws in all these different states and the number of gun deaths and how they're greatly reduced by having more restrictive laws. The people in St. Louis and Missouri, their urban populations. They're not Martians. They're different. They're similar urban populations in New York and L.A., and they've got lower, you know, gun deaths because of more restrictive gun laws. So if the state wants to do anything to help, you know, those urban populations, they could let those cities, you know, have stricter gun laws just in those cities. And, you know, conservative states, you know, like Missouri, it's kind of hard because the urban population has no interest in getting more restrictive laws because the majority of the people that live in that population in that state are, you know, rural areas, and they're not getting shot every day. So they're not interested in making more restrictive gun laws, where the people in St. Louis, the urban core in Missouri and even Springfield would be more restrictive to having stricter laws on, say, for instance, a gun safe or registering your gun at the local police force. Those simple laws would help reduce the number of gun deaths.
I got to ask a question here because here's the issue. They can't enforce the violent crimes that the guns are committing. So if there's more strict gun laws, how are they going to convict the people that are using those guns? I mean, this is a very complex problem we're talking about here. So even if there were, which, by the way, I think stricter gun laws are coming. I think they just are. You still have to say, whose gun is this? And someone's going to have to say, that's that person's gun or that's my gun. And this is the problem that we're facing in these urban neighborhoods. Nobody, because of their own safety, is willing to say, it's that person's gun. They pulled the trigger. I'm going to witness and testify in court to put that person behind bars. That's the problem we're facing here.
And the thing is, other urban areas like L.A. and, you know, New York used to be horrible with gun deaths. They figured it out because their state legislatures are a little bit more liberal. So all those complicated issues, they've kind of been able to reduce the gun deaths just per 1,000 people in those cities, in L.A. and New York, by doing a whole bunch of different things. It is a complicated issue.
Okay, so in New York City, this is more what I'm familiar with. So Manhattan used to be a much more diverse place than it is today. And when Rudy Giuliani was mayor, and this was in, I think, the book, The Tipping Point, I can't remember, they stopped focusing on trying to convict violent crimes and started to find people who were committing petty theft that they could basically say, like, oh, you hopped the subway fare or you jaywalked. It was the same people. And what that did was it changed the perception of police presence in New York City. But New York City has quietly become a very safe place in America.
Nobody wants to know that, but it is true.
Yeah, mostly because of the threat that terrorism has brought to that city. There's way more surveillance. There's way more unmarked police cars, police officers. There's way more of a presence than ever before. But that is also a much less diverse place. It's not the same New York City as it was in the 80s and 90s. So even though there are stricter gun laws coming in this country, I don't think that's going to have a significant impact on the problem we're discussing.
Bear, good to hear you, man. Thank you for your phone call. 576-7798. Predictably, the text line full of, well, what about Chicago? Chicago's violent crime rate is like 24th in the nation. Remember, when you have four times the amount of people that we do here in Kansas City, you're going to get four times the number. But the rate is much better in Chicago than it is in Kansas City. It's low-hanging fruit. It's
talking
predictable.
About math and statistics, yeah.
I know mathing is hard for some. But
Chicago has the same problem we have where there is a segregated population, and they've essentially said, if you grow up or you live in this neighborhood, your life is going to be very different than others. And that's the problem we're talking about here, where there's a lack of quality education, there's a lack of transportation, there's a lack of opportunities outside of crime, gangs, drugs, violence.
Let's go to Doug in Kansas City. Doug has a different opinion about the guns. Go ahead, Doug. Thanks for calling, bud.
Yeah, I've never called into a talk show in my life, so this is...
Oh, well, thank you so much. You're doing a great job so far, Doug. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I was a CEO of a company in Kansas City for about 20 years, and we employed probably 1,500 people, some all over the United States, and I've lived in 58 of the major U.S. cities in the U.S. What I see is that the states that are focused on education, that are putting more into raising the quality of the awareness of the citizens and giving them more opportunities, similar to what the gentleman said earlier, wind up having different violence issues and other issues because there's opportunity. And I think if we wanted to focus on this, I actually know Mike Parsons fairly well. I don't believe, for example, St. Louis is actually about 2.2 million in population. Kansas City is about 2.1. They're almost identical in size. The bigger issue is that the state in general is below the 25th, out of the 50 states, we're not even in the top 25 for education.
Amen.
So when we look at Kansas, that's number 7 in education, and Missouri, one of our focuses is we just don't put enough time and effort into how do we elevate the quality of the citizens. When we employed, I've employed thousands of people all over the United States, and Missouri, I've grown up here, lived here my entire life, also at homes all over the world, and Missouri is frustrating for me because we don't think about what it takes to raise up our citizens. Right now I'm building another global company in Asia Pacific, focused on Australia, and the one thing I've noticed in Australia as it relates to the guns is, one, they've just eliminated all guns, and their violent crime's gone down, but there's a massive push on education, and specifically in the communities that are having some of these issues, trying to help elevate those, because you're never going to, I feel like adding more police into a market is really dealing with a byproduct of the issue, not the issue.
Yep. Doug, you're making some points I was trying to make earlier. And I was in Vietnam earlier this year, and I noticed, I mean, the skill development that they take is a different approach than what we look at as traditional classroom education. They want you to spend all day in a room with others learning skills like coding. I mean, I saw more software boot camps than I did coffee shops in Saigon, because they realized that the way to boost their economy, boost their population, is through skills, which is also education, right? And I mean, I was with the governor this week, and we were in Silicon Valley, and we were focused
on
Governor Parson in Missouri.
Name dropper.
And we were focused on how do we get more skill development to Missouri. So he does understand that is a solution to this problem as well. So I want to give the guy a little credit here. He's not just saying let's put boots on the ground, and because again, short term and long term, you got to focus on both at the same time. And right now, his short term approach is to put more state troopers in troubled neighborhoods. But long term, he is focused on skill development too. I will give him credit.
Doug, thank you for your phone call, man. Appreciate it. Jim is in Raytown. What's up, Jim?
How you doing?
All right. Thanks for calling.
I'm listening to the program here, and there's a lot of layers to this issue.
Sure.
I was in law enforcement for 36 years. I was a trooper. And, I think probably the thing that caught my attention the most was when the comment was made, it's not political. I promise you, it's political.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree with you. But
every single task force, commitment is, there's some political issue. You know, I was on one years ago that had to do with fugitives, and we were catching a lot of fugitives, and they said, well, we'd like for you to catch them when they have guns. You know, you're doing a good job, but we want guns. Well, you know, that's not a very good outlook. And as far as sending state troopers into St. Louis, there's a lot of problems there. And one of them is a lot of troopers got bad taste in their mouth from Ferguson. And a lot of troopers were standing there watching crimes committed and told, stand down. Well, that's not the way we do business. You know, we don't, and maybe there might be pockets or individuals, but basically we're going to treat everyone with the same degree of justice. You know, and if it goes a different direction, it's going to be at the behest of the person who's the subject of it. And, you know, guys were down there, they were getting urine-filled water bottles thrown at them on a daily basis. And right now, the problem in St. Louis is the prosecutor over there has no respect of the police. She's come out, she's very anti-police. And no matter what job you have, if the people who are need to support you and respect you are not doing that, you're not going to do a very good job at it.
Well,
and as far as sending state troopers into St. Louis, I mean, they work in those areas all the time. I worked in Kansas City enough on different task forces. I know my way around Kansas City. I know the names of the families of criminals. If I rattled them off, I guarantee you there'd be 500 Kansas City cops who go, yeah, he knows what he's talking about, because those are the families we dealt with all the time.
Believe it, Jim. Hey, thank you for your phone call. More importantly, thank you for your time keeping us safe. I'm not terribly familiar with Kimberly Gardner. We've had her on the program before. I don't think she's anti-police.
How could you be in that role?
You can't be the prosecuting attorney for the city of St. Louis and be anti-police.
I don't think you can do anything in this world now and be anti-police.
You can sell drugs.
Well, sure.
There you go.
Sure. But even they've got their friends in the police force.
There are some, yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Sorry, by the way. Police friends, I did not mean that.
Oh, God.
But, how? Could you possibly be successful at your job and have an anti-police mindset? Or even give the perception that you are not supporting the police? You would never get a conviction. I mean, they would completely revolt against you.
Yeah.
That's a powerful group of people. I have a really hard time believing that.
But thank you for your phone call, my friend. Let's go to Tanner to wrap this up. Tanner, you're on KMBZ.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right.
Hey, I was just hearing a couple calls ago about, you know, making gun control laws stricter in St. Louis. You know, if you look at some of those larger cities, I'm sure you guys have seen that on the text line, but if you look at some of the larger cities like Detroit and Chicago where they've tried to implement these gun laws.
That's right.
You know,
they have very strict gun laws in those cities.
Absolutely. But they still have record murder rates, high crime rates. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, it's because they go to, states with, less strict gun laws. Well, that just goes back to the original point. Well, criminals don't follow gun laws. You know, they're going to find a way to get their hands on them. And so, I mean, even if you make it strict, there's so many guns already on the streets. I mean, they're not going to disappear anytime soon. So.
There is a point to what you're saying. We can debate back and forth whether or not strict gun laws in cities near state borders and all those kinds of things, because Chicago is right by Indiana and Wisconsin, which have very loose gun laws and yada, yada. I don't want to get into that debate. But he did bring up a good point. And my father, who is a lifelong Republican, who is a pro-gun control Republican. Right?
Really?
They exist. Yeah. My wife is a pro-life Democrat. My dad is a pro gun control Republican.
Good. That makes me feel happy to live in a world like that exists.
he's 72, right? Do the math. He's 72. He's not quite as far right as he wants to believe. He's much more in the middle, like most people are. But he said, it doesn't matter what gun control laws we put in. We're too far. We've got too many guns out there.
That's
to
right.
Tanner's point, you can say, all right, you can't buy more than one gun every 8 years. But there's more guns on the street than there are people. So what can you do?
Well, even if you bought a gun legally, let's say I go buy a 12-gauge shotgun at Walmart right now. I can saw it off, take the safety off of it, make it illegal. I can turn it into basically an auto.
Yeah.
This is what they do, right? So these are not folks that are living in a law-abiding community.
True.
Atmosphere. And if you change the laws, who are going to be the last people to find out? It's going to be the same people we're talking about.
Tanner, appreciate your phone call, friend. Hey, it's on our Facebook page. If you want to read about it, you can. Facebook.com/981KMBZ. Again, that's Facebook.com/981KMBZ.
from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.